This is Fortiment's Foreclosure Warfare Guerrilla Training Podcast with Hien Kwok, where anyone can generate income in the most creative ways right from their own home. This podcast is for anyone in foreclosure and needs an out. We'll show you how. Visit Fortiment.com, spelled in phonetics, Foxtrot, Oscar, Romeo, Tango, India, Mike, Echo, Nancy, Tango.com to enlist for a free foreclosure training program. In episode 3, titled Getting Jobs Fast, in an interview with a recruiter, Peter Bugby, we have a special guest today. Peter Bugby is a brother in Christ. We know each other from church in Upland called Foothill Bible Church. And I've learned from him that he's a hiring manager, or actually a recruiter, sorry, that practices and basically he just hires people and knows how to decide to hire. So I'd like to start off our podcast with a prayer. If you're okay with that, stay on. If not, here's your chance to check out. Thank you, Father God, for an opportunity to bring our brother Peter on this podcast to share his insights and talents you've bestowed on him to share it with the world to get a job quickly and be able to support themselves and their family in these tough economic times. We pray that all the listeners would come to trust in you and have faith in you as their Lord and Savior, and to depend on you when in times of uncertainty, because you are the Lord, certain and created everything according to your will and plan for us. We pray all these things in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Peter, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. You haven't had lunch yet to show up on the show. So thank you.
No worries, my pleasure.
Great. So let's just get started then. How long have you been a recruiter?
About a year and a half.
Okay. And so, like, what's the hiring process?
So, let me see. Usually the way it works is fountains of resumes come my way, and I've probably looked at about 2,000 different resumes, and I scan through them. I'll set up phone calls with them if they look strong or if they come through referrals of people I trust. And then after the phone screen, depending on the position, usually there's a follow-up interview that's either a deeper dive on a technical spectrum. We're a software company, so often they'll have a more technical interview, a coding problem, and then usually an on-site interview with a hiring manager, and then usually we'll make the offer after that.
Okay, so how many resumes would you say you get for, like, one position a day or something?
Great question. It probably depends on the position. We just had a marketing communication specialist position. There's about 120 candidates so far. So
wow.
Yeah. We had a developer position, probably somewhere about 120, 130. So some of them are really popular.
Yeah, I could relate to that because when I had a donut shop and I was hiring for a cashier, I was getting about 30 to 60 emails per day, and I just not have any time to even look through any of them. Like,
yes.
Like, do you guys actually screen through every single resume?
Try to. I mean, usually, just out of necessity, most people's resumes get looked at for about 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's really important that people have strong resumes that grab attention at the front end.
Yeah, and since, you know, when I was hiring, like, I was so busy that, because I didn't have a hiring a recruiter like you, I mean, I basically was, you know, just the time of day that felt right. I was like, you know, I think I'll just pick someone out today. So I'll look at my email, the first top 5 or 10, and whoever's there at that time when I was feeling good got looked at. And out of that, maybe 2 or 3 I picked out to hire. So it's just crazy out there. So I guess when you hire, what do you look for when you interview?
Well, when I do the initial phone screen, usually it's about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the main things I'm looking for is that people have a drive that transcends money.
Mm-hmm.
So we found that the best employees long-term are those who have a strong work ethic and have shown that they go above and beyond. So often it doesn't even reflect in a GPA. I had one guy who was, you know, developing his own websites to teach his kids how to use programming, and he just did it for fun. I had another guy who was building a robot for fun, and so that tells me off the bat that this person really loves programming and won't need a manager to constantly encourage him to work harder. He goes above and beyond. So I'm looking for hard work, integrity, Usually I'll ask them what their most significant accomplishment was, and then based on that question, I'll dig in deeper. So why was that significant? How big was the team? What was your role? Was there any sort of award at the end? Was there any, what were the challenges you overcame? And that question really tells me a lot about a person.
Yeah, I think that that's very true, because when I was working as aerospace engineer, and about 5 years into it, I got bored. And so instead of going above and beyond, I just gave just enough. And sure enough, about a year later, I was laid off because I was no longer needed. Mm-hmm. I wasn't providing the value for what I was given. And I think it was probably just my own sin issue and not being content with what I had and whatnot. So, but yeah, I think definitely that's a big thing. Just being able to provide more value than paid for is probably a good proverb to, if there is one to observe. I think when I was hiring as a donut shop owner, I primarily looked for was trust, because I really didn't know, because basically the skill sets that we had here was trainable. And anyone that, you know, I knew that can refer me someone, that jumped to the top of my list, no matter how great they are on the resume. Is that true for you too, or?
Oh, for sure. We in the industry, it's good if your referral hires are 40 to 50%, and LifeRay, because we've grown so organically, has about 70 to 80% of the people we hire come from people either within the company or people we know and trust. So building that kind of referral network is vital.
Okay. So do you think, the first thing that they would probably do is just contact a list of friends that who are in the work world and just kind of get a referral from them and pass their resumes off? That'll probably be a good approach, or a good start?
Yes. Yeah, that's huge. There's this, one of the guys I've learned the most from, his name's Lou Adler. He's an excellent recruiter, and he wrote a book, How to Hire with Your Head, but he has this rule called the 80-20 rule, and a lot of people don't follow it, but it's huge. And the way he says it is, you shouldn't spend more than 20% of your time applying for jobs. So going on to career sites or going to LinkedIn, finding jobs and applying to them. He said you can spend about 20% of your time doing that. The rest of your time, the 80% of the time, should be, like you said, talking to people, setting goals. Okay, this week I want to talk to 5 people I know, either in the industry or people that are well connected, and just ask them for a small commitment. Hey, could I take you out to coffee for 15 minutes? And just ask you about your role, career advice, and then at the end of the conversation, just say, hey, do you know of any opportunities out there or things that you think I'd be a good fit for? And even if they say no, you can ask them, hey, would you recommend 1 or 2 other people that would possibly be able to talk to me, just tell me about their career experience, either in architecture or software development, whatever it is, and you'll find that that's often the way you'll find your job.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I had a friend who came out of college and was able to get into Lockheed Martin in Sunnyvale with Skunk Works, and that's one of the very prestigious engineering companies to get into, and that definitely got his foot in the door, just from networking and getting to know the recruiter and having the recruiter know and trust him and his abilities and whatnot and his work ethics, and that just really helped him get in the door with that. So
excellent.
Great. Well, now so is there once they're hired, what would you think they would need to do to keep their jobs?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing is see your job not so much as a job, but as an opportunity to be challenged and to excel. And regardless of, your faith position, if you're working for just a paycheck, you'll find yourself really discontent. But if you're working to improve your skills, to go above and beyond, then you won't even have to worry about keeping your job. You'll prove your value to a company, and even if you get let go, let's say there's a layoff of a company, if you have worked your tail off for a year or 2 years just because you love what you do and you're looking for opportunities to grow Your boss offers a challenge to the team, and you say, I'd love to be challenged. Can I please try this, even though it may be above my head? And you work as a team, you don't try to outdo each other. Then at the even if you get laid off, you've already built relationships and trust within the net in the company so that you can ask one of them, hey, would you recommend me? And people in an instant will say, I've worked with this guy. I know they go above and beyond. I'll connect him with George, a hiring manager over at JPL or whatever company that you want to work for.
Okay, great. Now, have you ever been involved in a layoff?
I haven't. I don't interact as much with that, so my experience is pretty weak in that area.
Okay. Do you know if your company tracks like computer usage or internet surfing time or their productivity in any way?
I mean, we have the ability to. The founder about 3 months ago, we got contacted because someone in our company had, I guess, downloaded a video from BitTorrent or something like that, and it was a warning email, and so our founder had said, you know, we don't really have the time to track these things, but if you're doing this kind of stuff on company time, you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting the company. So it was just his encouragement to say, if you're working, you're paid to work and do it well. And if you're not working, then you probably want to find a different job.
All right, great. Well, I think that's all the time we have for now. Do you have anything else to add, Peter?
No, I guess just the encouragement. They say finding a job or looking for a job is the hardest job you'll ever have. And I've been there. I graduated from college. Took me like about 9 months to find a job. It was a really dark season. But I would just say press on, and God is faithful, and work hard in whatever you do. And Proverbs says, see a man skilled in his work, and he'll stand before kings. So I would just say sharpen your skills, and opportunities will arise.
Very true. Amen. Well, Peter, thank you so much for taking time out of your lunch to share this valuable insight. Now, as Christians, we love to share what God has commissioned us to do. And may we have your permission to share what God has promised us? If yes, please stay on this podcast. But if not, you may end this podcast now. God has promised us eternal life in those who believe and proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we have to fix in ourselves before we feel good enough to deserve eternal life. And it doesn't matter what horrible things we've done. There's nothing that we can do to deserve eternal life. To deserve eternal life in heaven and be a part of God's kingdom. But because God loves us and he graciously gave his life of salvation for those who want to receive it. In faith, for those who are listening, if you have guilt, shame, secrets that you've been bearing in your heart, or any huge weight that you'd like to let go, give it up to God and repent and confess your sins and let the chains fall away. If you're ready to do so, pray this prayer with me. Father God, I confess my sins to you. I no longer want to live my sinful life that I live, and I want to be changed from within. Please cleanse me and make me anew, because I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And to guide me, teach me, to walk me in the light. I pray all these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Alright, woo! So, we're happy to welcome you to our family. You are now a part of a heavenly family. You are my brother and sister in Christ. The next steps in our growth in Christ is that it's never ending, but to plug ourselves under Christ's church family and to be part of a local church that teaches us directly from the Bible. Please grab a pen and paper and pause this podcast for a website that you'll be writing down, and it's called tms.edu, and that's Tom, Mary, Sally at .edu. And it's basically spelled in phonetics, Tango, Mike, Sierra, Echo, Delta, Uniform. Well, God has called these people to lead and teach God's Word, and they dedicated themselves to enroll in the Master's Seminary. These Bible graduates are the equivalent of the Master's or PhD in the study of God's Word. They take God's Word seriously and to preserve the truth and to understand what is taught. what God has taught them and what God has intended it. They put a lot of research into the study of God's Word to ensure that what they teach is accurate. So thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Visit Fordhamit.com to get your free membership access to our foreclosure training site. If you like this podcast, please like or follow us to help support us. Thank you so much.